today is found in the 18th and the 19th chapter of the book of Genesis. We read in the first verse, "And the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre, as he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. And he looked up, and he saw three men. And he ran to meet them, and he bowed down to the ground before them." We have here a wonderful appearance again of the Lord unto Abraham. This was not the first time that Abraham had an appearance of the Lord to him. The Lord had spoken unto him many times before this, but this was a miraculous appearance. This was an appearance of the Son of God in person, taking upon him a human form and coming down and communing with Abraham with two angels. The Lord appeared unto him as he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. Oh, what a wonder this must have been to this man. But whether this man was in exercise concerning a visit of his Lord to himself, we read not. Sometimes it pleases God when his dear children feel lonely, feel so far from him, and are praying and pleading that he would smile on them, that he would give them a kiss, give them a token of his love. He sometimes favors them immediately. Sometimes they have no realization at all, no thought even, no prayer, and suddenly the Lord descends. He lets one word sometimes down into their heart, into their mind, and immediately they are brought into communion with him. How it was with Abraham, the Bible doesn't say, but he seen these three men approaching his tent. When he went to them, he seen that these three men were entirely different looking men than ordinarily. And therefore, he bowed before them. He showed in this his courtesy. He himself was very rich in gold and silver and much cattle. But irrespective of his wealth, he was a kind and an affectionate man towards even strangers. And he would even invite them, as he did these three men, to sit down to eat with him. This the apostle speaks of in the book of Hebrews, that let brotherly love continue, and that we should likewise be kind and affectionate to each other, and that some have even entertained angels unawares in inviting them into their home. This happened now to Abraham. He ran to meet these men. He showed reverence. He showed that he was in the immediate presence of inhabitants from heaven. And therefore, he spake unto them, and he said, "My Lord, if I have now found favor in thy sight, pass not away. Let a little water be fetched to wash thy feet with, and let me get a morsel of bread so that ye may eat, and sit down here under the tree, and pass not away from thy servant, for therefore thou art come to me." This man, Abraham, he speaks in a wonderful way. I wish you and I could say that. Immediately he knew who he was speaking to. He said, "My Lord." Could you say that, any one of you? I hear and read of Thomas, how that he said, "My Lord and my God." I think some of us here would give everything that we had if we could put in our claim with that little word, My Lord, he says, if I have found favor in thy sight. Some of us may not be able to say, my Lord, but at times we do experience his precious nearness. And then we may say, if I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away. If. This if was not an if of unbelief with this man Abraham, but it was an if that spake of other visits that he had had. You have favored me before, Lord. You've been so good to me. You've drawn me out of Ur of the Chaldees. You've spoken to me so many times. And now you favor me again. And now, if you're so good to me, let me show some of my kindness, some of my love, some of my affection to you. If I have found favor in thy sight. Oh, how precious it is that we may believe that we have found favor in God's sight. If ever he has come near unto you in prayer, in the hearing of the ministry of the word, or wherever you may be, even in your occupation, and immediately you are brought into that feeling that God is round about you and that he's favoring you, then you would say inside, do not pass away. Let me stay in this frame, Lord. It's so sweet, it's so good to be here, to know that you are round about me, that you have a favor towards me, that you love me. Oh, pass not away, Lord. Stay a while, and do give me likewise, that I may say, my Lord and my God, this is what I'm longing for. This is what I hope that you will grant me. Such souls are exercised in this way, that if God should favor them and bless them with faith, that they may claim him as my Lord. Or then they say inside, Lord, if ever you favor me in this way, then no matter what I have to go through in life, no matter what trial or what affliction you bring upon me, or then I will be able still to say, my Lord, my God, my Savior, my Redeemer, my all and in all to be favored in this respect is a great blessing in this life. David of old, he was favored in this way. And so likewise, this man, Abraham, he did not want the Lord to pass away right away. He wanted him to stay. And he promised that he would bring some water out to him and some bread. And right away we find that Abraham, he commanded a servant to bring some water to wash their feet. And he went into the tent, and he said unto Sarah, hasten and get thee 3 measures of meal, and bake some cakes on the hearth. And he ran to the herd, and he fetched a calf, tender and good, and he gave it unto a young man to be dressed, who dressed it. And we find that Abraham came to these 3 men. They were sitting right near the tent, under the tree, by a table, and he brought out to them a butter and milk and bread and the calf that he had dressed. We have here then these 3 men receiving water to wash their feet with. Now, this was customary in the East, where they don't wear even shoes. Very few even wear sandals. They walk in the sand and it's very hot, and almost every place they stop, there's water to be had to wash their feet with, which is very refreshing. And now I read of a man in the Bible by the name of Simon the Pharisee, when Christ was upon earth, that he entered into the house of this Pharisee, and a woman entered likewise behind him, and she was weeping, and the water run down off her cheeks onto his feet. And he upbraided this Pharisee because he had not even shown the courtesy of giving him some water to wash his feet with. But this woman had washed his feet with her tears. Here Abraham, in all respect and love to the Lord, he gave water so that they could wash their feet and be refreshed. And likewise, we find that he brought out this meal. Sarah was the baker, and Abraham was the waiter. You would think that Abraham would have sat down at the table with these three men, and that Sarah would have served them, but no. In the East, the women are kept backward. They're not exposed to the view of men unless they are called so. And therefore, Sarah remained in the tent, and Abraham, he stood by this table where these two angels and the Lord of hosts were sitting. We find that he gave them what? Butter, milk, and he gave them a nice piece of veal to eat. The meal wasn't any sumptuous affair. The dishes that he had, they weren't elaborate. This teaches us that when we have visitors to come to eat, that we don't have to put on a display of a lot of dishes and fill the table to show what we have in pride. But good, wholesome food is sufficient enough. This man, Abraham, he was blessed with something that you and I never were blessed with. He had some guests at his table that you and I never had yet. They were bodily at his table. He was giving them food to eat. My hearers, it pleases God many times to favor his dear children when they sit down at their table to eat. I don't know if you have ever had this, but you've looked at your table and you've seen so much on the table, and God has been so good to you, such a sinner like you, and he blesses you so abundantly with the necessities of life that you've been broken down before him. That's having the presence of the Lord at our table. What a mercy to have this, my hearers, to see that God is so good for such creatures such as we are. This man Abraham was blessed beyond us. He had their bodily presence there. And they were sitting there eating. And then the principal speaker said unto Abraham, "Where is Sarah, thy wife?" "Well," he says, "she's in the tent." "Well," he says, "I will return at this time of life, and Sarah shall have a son." And now Sarah, she was in the tent. She was listening. She was very inquisitive when she heard her name mentioned. She wanted to know what was going to be said about her. And when she heard that this principal speaker said that she would have a son, why, Scripture says that Abraham was also old and Sarah was in great age, beyond that period that she could even bear children. And therefore Sarah, when she heard this, she laughed in the tent. "Shall I," she says, "so old, have pleasure and be a surety for a child?" In this preceding chapter before this, God had visited Abraham and had promised him that he would give unto him a son, and that he would make of him a great nation, and that kings would proceed from his loins. And Abraham, when he heard this, he laughed in his heart, saying, "Shall I, who am 100 years of age, and Sarah 90, have a son?" He immediately prayed and said, "Lord, let Ishmael live before thee." He had a son, For they had went to work together, him and his wife, out of the way that God had promised to give them a son. They thought that they would have a son their way. They did. They had this son, Ishmael. And Abraham loved this son. Or he looked upon him as that promised son. He thought, sure, that from him the great nation would spring forth. But this was not the way of God. God came again and promised him that he would have a son. But shall I, 100 years of age, and my wife, 90, shall we have a son? He laughed about it. It was a laugh, to my estimation, of unbelief. He couldn't believe that he, being 100 years of age, and his wife that old, could have a child. There may be some listening to me that are similar to Abraham, not in that respect of having a son, but you may have had years and years ago a promise of God that you, in the course of your lifetime, would have the dear Son of God given to you, and that you would receive him as your Savior, as your Redeemer. And you have climbed up in age. You maybe are 70, 80 years of age. And you think of that promise and you say, like Abraham, nah, if God had meant to give me that, I would have had it long ago. Look how old I am now. Oh, it'll never take place with me. I'm afraid that I deceived myself, and I also deceived others. Oh, if you are such a person that are listening to me, I would say, did not God come to you with this promise and give you at that time to believe it? You received it in faith. And now unbelief, so strong, so powerful, is making you doubt whether God would give you the fulfillment of that precious word to you. You're looking at your age, and you're looking at, oh, it's an impossibility. Nothing is impossible with God. God is able to do all things. He's a wonderful God. But there may be some that are listening to me too, who are in this age bracket, 70, 80, and they never have experienced anything from God. They fear that they will go on like this and die in their sins and be lost forever. They often say in themselves, well, God don't work anymore in people that are our age. He usually works in the young people. Oh, look at Abraham. 100 years old and his wife 90. He was 75, I said, when God called him out of Ur of the Chaldees. And if you are even 70, 80, or even 90, you're not beyond the reach of God's almighty arm of grace. He only needs one word to bring you down to his feet. Or he only has to speak, and there you lay. Or he only can break that affection that you have for sin and iniquity all these years that you've been living in it, and he can change your affections in a moment. Ah, may you pray to him to do so. He's able to do beyond all what we could ask or think or pray of him to do. And now these three men were speaking to Abraham outside of the tent, and Sarah, she laughed. It was a laugh of unbelief on the part of Sarah, too. Abraham had laughed in the preceding chapter, but he was not rebuked for his laugh. But Sarah, she laughed. And now the Lord renewed this promise again unto Abraham, saying unto him that the next year he would have a son. And why did Sarah laugh? She was inside of the tent. How did he know that she laughed? This was proof enough to her that it must have been the Lord himself that he knew that she had laughed. And therefore, she, when she was accused of this, she denied that she had laughed. She says she had not laughed. She lied. My hearers, when we are accused sometimes of something that we have done, in fear sometimes, we likewise lie. We are so easily led to lie, to get ourselves out of it, to free ourselves from it. Sarah, she lied too. She was afraid. It's not good, my hearers, to lie. The apostle teaches us to not lie. Let all lying be put away from you. David prays likewise, keep the doors of my lips. And likewise we read in the book of Revelations that those that are excluded out of heaven are all those that love a lie. I would admonish you in love, put away all lying from you and speak the truth one with another. This is what God commands us to do. God hates a liar. What happened at this time with Sarah and with Abraham, where they were being promised a son, and Sarah could not believe that she could have this. She was so old that it was, to her estimation, an impossibility. And therefore, the Lord, he renewed the promise, and he spake and said, is there anything too hard for the Lord? You might have laughed, Abraham, and you might have thought it's an impossibility, and Sarah has laughed too, and denied even that she laughed. But is there anything too hard for the Lord? Have you no faith in me? Do you not know who I am? That I am the Almighty, that I can do all things, or that I am able to do far beyond what thou thinkest. My ways are so different than thy ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. You're thinking because you're old and your wife is old that this could not be taking place. But oh, there's nothing, nothing too hard for me. So likewise with some of those that are listening to me. Oh, there may be some souls listening to me that are in such darkness and such deadness and such coldness and so unbelieving concerning their state for eternity. They've cast themselves away so often and they realize nothing anymore of his presence under the means of grace. In prayer, they feel so far from God, and they say inside, no, it'll never, never take place with me. I wish I had never made a profession of religion. I wish I had never said anything about it to anyone, that they should even think or have an idea that I'm one of God's children. Or are you in this state? There isn't anything too hard for the Lord. Oh, how encouraging, my hearers, irrespective of what you are and what you have been, and how hard and how cold and how lifeless and how barren you feel yourselves to be, he can soften the hardest heart. He can melt it into contrition in a moment. He is able to do this, and he has at times done it. Or even sometimes, poor children of God, they go almost to their deathbed this way. Or they fear when they shall enter into that great beyond that it'll be eternally lost. And then that has happened. When death drew nigh, then he drew nigh. And he revealed himself as the faithful God, the unchangeable God, the one that loved them from the beginning and still loved them, irrespective of all their sins and all their backslidings, he remained the same. Oh, this God who I long to exalt, he's a faithful God. There's nothing too hard for him. There isn't a sinner listening to me who cannot be worked upon by his Spirit and brought down in deep contrition and humility before him. The hardest heart he can break into pieces. Have you such a hard heart? Are you troubled with it? Is it your burden? Carry it unto him. Oh, say, Lord, here's my hard heart. I haven't anything else to offer to you, but oh, do soften it, do melt it, do break it into pieces, and do give me again a taste of thy love and of thy favor to my heart. And now the Lord, he had spoken so wonderfully to Sarah and to Abraham, and they had eaten there, and now they arose, and they went towards Sodom. Their faces were towards Sodom. As you know, Lot, he was living in Sodom. He was the nephew of Abraham. And he had been delivered at one time by Abraham, by the army that Abraham had in his own house. And he had delivered Lot from the enemy by his sword. And Lot had chosen to live here and had departed from him. And now Lot was dwelling in Sodom, and the Lord and these two angels were going towards Sodom. Their faces were towards this place. And now the Lord speak, shall I hide from Abraham what we shall do? The Lord reveals his secrets unto his people, to them that fear him. Abraham was one that feared God, and now the Lord was going to reveal to Abraham what his intention was with Sodom. The cry of Sodom has come up before me, and I will go down and see if it is according to this cry, and then I will know. But he spake unto Abraham and said unto him that he knew that he would be faithful, and that he would likewise rule and govern his house, and that he would command his children that would follow him to keep the ways of the Lord and to walk in his ways and to be just and righteous in their generations. And therefore God, for this cause, revealed this unto Abraham. Abraham then was commended in this respect by God himself, that he was a faithful father, that he acted as a king and as a priest in his house, and that where he had so many servants, he likewise spake unto them of God and of the way of salvation in Christ Jesus. He taught his household. He prayed with them. He had services with them. And he also would follow on speaking unto his own children who he would receive and tell them to keep the ways of the Lord and to do justice and righteousness in the earth. Oh, my hearers thinking of this, oh, what a faithful father this man Abraham was. Oh, how he puts us to shame. Oh, my hearers, we as parents, oh, how we falter in this. Abraham, he spake unto his family. He spake unto his servants. He commended the service of the Lord to them. He spoke about this God who loved him and who had called him out of Ur of the Chaldees. He taught them the right way, the honest way, the way that God leads his people. He taught them the truth as it is in Christ, the way of salvation as it is to be found in him. And he commanded them that they should walk in God's ways, that they should be obedient to him and live to his honor and to his glory.
do we do that? You that are parents and have children, do you speak to them about the ways of the Lord? Do you command them that they should keep the ways of the Lord? That they should abide by the religion that they have been born and brought up under? That is the only true religion, that is the religion of God? Or do you speak to them that they should be honest, that they should be just and righteous in their dealings with everyone, irrespective of how young or how old they are? And do you speak to them when they go the wrong way, when they do things that are inconsistent when they get older? Or do you take them on the side and speak to them and warn them that if they continue on in their sins, then most surely God will visit them? Oh, my hearers, how we lack to do this. Oh, we are afraid to have a word of trouble with someone about this. We would sooner keep quiet. We'd sooner live in peace and let them go on in their own way. This is the way we are fathers and mothers. Or they call us good because we do this. Is that right? Oh, let us fall in before God in our guilt. How guilty are we in this respect, in bringing before our household, our children, the ways of the Lord and speaking unto them, instead of letting them go on in their sins and perishing in them. And God revealed unto Abraham his purpose of going to Sodom. The sins that were being committed in this city had cried already to heaven. Oh, there was such wickedness and such ungodliness going on in this city. Oh, it was awful. And God could not bear with it any longer. The wrath of God stood to be revealed from heaven over this city. But before that he would go to this city, he spake unto Abraham. And Abraham, knowing that his brother's son, Lot, his nephew, was dwelling there, he stood before the Lord. Abraham stood as a bar not to leave the Lord go before he would talk to him, before he would plead with him. Was the Lord going to destroy Sodom and all the inhabitants therein? And would he not put up a prayer? Would he not beg God that God wouldn't do this? He began to plead with God and said, if there be 50 righteous in this city, wilt thou destroy the whole city? Wilt thou not spare it for those 50 righteous' sake? Abraham is thinking about his nephew, Lot, a righteous man dwelling in the midst of this city. He was pleading then before God for the righteous that were in this city. He wasn't pleading for the wicked people that were in there and that were sinning against him and that God should spare them because they're sinning. No. He was pleading with God for the righteous that dwelt in that city. If there were then 50 in that city, would he not spare the city, the whole city, everybody in the city for those 50's sake? It is not like unto thee, he says, to do with the righteous and the wicked the same. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? We have here then Abraham as an intercessor, as one that's standing in the breach between Sodom and its destruction. He's praying and pleading with God concerning if there were 50 people in that city that feared God, then God would not destroy it for those 50's sake. He got an answer. The Lord said that if there were 50 righteous in that city, he would not destroy the city. So this man Abraham is standing between God and between a city that was ready to be destroyed. Oh, I think of him now. God has his dear children on this earth, and they live a praying life. Many of the ungodly people that are dwelling with them realize not that it is in and through the prayers and supplications of these righteous people yet that they are blessed yet temporally, and that they are not yet destroyed. The Lord, he looks upon his dear children and hears their prayers and their cries. Oh, what a mercy, my Hebrews, it is to have, I would say, 50 like this in a city or in a country. All these 50 are better than any army or navy that any country or nation may have. They have more power than all the armies and navies put together. They have the ear of their great and glorious and divine God in heaven above. Oh, my Hebrews, Abraham, he pleaded in this respect, and God answered him. God said he would not destroy it if there were 50 in that city. As the history teaches us, there was not even 10 righteous people in that city. There was only one, and that was Lot. And this man, he vexed his righteous soul, Peter says, daily, listening to the wicked conversation of those that dwelt in this city. This is spoken to the honor of Lot. Lot isn't a very bright example of a child of God in the scriptures, but Peter speaks of him in this way, that he, living amongst all these wicked people, oh, it was a trouble to his soul to listen to their ungodly conversation and to see the wicked deeds that they did. Oh, this man, he couldn't bear it. It's a mercy, my heavens, if God has given us a heart that hates sin and wishes to flee from sin. And now this, what Abraham did, teaches me and you a lesson. Do we see people going on in sin? We cannot say that that is right, that they should continue on in sin. If you hate sin, you will hate sin in them too, but you're not to hate them. Oh, you are to have pity and compassion upon them, considering yourself as a sinner, for you would also go on in sin if God left you. And therefore you are to pray and intercede before God for their mercy, for their salvation. This the Lord teaches us, that we should pray for our enemies, pray for those that despitefully use us. Here we have this man Abraham praying for the people in Sodom, and they not knowing anything about it. This man Abraham, he had so much love even for his own nephew, who had departed from him and who had chosen this beautiful place to live and separated himself from Abraham. Still Abraham, in love, had delivered him out of the enemy's hand, and now he uses a more forceful way of having Lot being delivered from destruction. And that is the way of prayer. God teaches us to pray. May we be given such a heart to pray for each other and for all our enemies. God bless this instruction to our souls. That's all for today.